570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570LASports. Hey, if you missed any of the show today, please download the free iHeartRadio app. Kevin puts the show up the minute we're off the air. The podcast is up. You can check out anything we did. Talk to Jared Cook of the Chargers today during the noon hour. He had some interesting things to say about living in Green Bay, also playing for the Chargers, and sound remarkably like Don Cornelius, who at one point hosted Soul Train. So if you want to hear that, please feel free. David Vasse was on during the 1 o'clock hour. And later this hour, Nick Hamilton will stop by. Also, if you download the free iHeartRadio app, you can stream the show wherever you go, and people listen to us from all over the country. So we're always with you, and as Rodney pointed out yesterday, all over the world. So by all means, download the app and take us with you wherever you go. Now it's time for some spirituality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and to provide that.
In my Jared Cook voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to get deeper than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It was deep. We walked behind Victor Brick.
Don't say it, Kevin.
Didn't say a word.
With the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Oh yeah, in the spirit of the great Don Cornelius, please put your hands together for the mighty OJs. Yeah.
Thank
good
you.
Afternoon, Fred.
Good afternoon, Vic.
Wrong not OJ. That OJ. Jeez. Come on, Fred. Why are you
love
looking
train.
Bewildered?
My mistake.
Jump on the love train.
Oh no. Oh. Ready.
You know, it'd be a great segment. This is for back in the day, you know, Soul Train lovers who we all are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Greatest performance on Soul Train. Who had the greatest Soul Train performance of one of the greatest shows in television history from my angle with Don Cornelius as host?
Ooh. There was a lot of greatest
performance.
Sly Stone, Sly and the Family Stone was great.
That's a good call.
You bet your last money, it's all going to be a stone gas, honey. I'm Don Cornelius.
Yeah.
And as always in party, we wish you love and peace. And...
good stuff.
From my Al Green, had some sensational breakout performances as well.
Yes.
The Reverend Al Green. But just what a incredible list of and performances on Soul Train.
Yes.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, memorable.
Oh yeah.
Memorable.
Yeah.
James Brown had a good one. I remember. I mean, I wasn't born yet, but I've gone back and seen it. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, Papa's got a brand new bag.
Of course.
Godfather did his thing always on Soul Train. Prince actually was good on Soul Train. Mm. Early young Prince.
Remember, Elton John had a gig on Soul Train.
Did he?
I think he did Philadelphia Freedom.
He did that on Soul Train?
I believe so.
Love Philadelphia Freedom.
Then Captain and Tennille also did a cameo on Soul Train.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Little Muskrat Law.
Do that to me one more time.
Don Cornelius, we love you. We love you. Always. Eternal. All day, all night. Eternal. Superstar, Don Cornelius.
And yes, Elton John was on Soul Train. He was the first white performer on the show.
Talk about must-see TV.
That's right.
One of the greatest shows of all time.
It was Benny and the Jets is the song that he performed on Soul Train.
Here's another one for you.
Sing it, Fred.
You guys remember...
Benny. Remember that?
You remember Berlin, Fred? The band Berlin?
No.
Sure.
I don't.
Yeah, they were on Soul Train. Take My Breath Away.
Oh, solid.
Give it up for Rodney Pete. Oh, Pete now.
VTB! What it is, VTB?
Executive producer.
Oh, yeah.
Rogan and Rodney Show. Relentless. Tenacious D. Before Jack Black.
Oh, yeah.
It's Kevin Figgers now.
Oh, come on now.
On the ones and the twos. And the threes and the fours. He is the Ark of Triumph. The Ark of Sound. Ronnie Fascio.
He's got dragon blood. A VTB now.
The DB is flowing.
Ah.
Before I get to the haiku, do you guys have any problems with the sexiest man alive, Paul Rudd? As voted by People Magazine, Paul Rudd, your sexiest man alive.
I can see why people would say he was the sexiest man alive.
Yeah.
You can?
Yeah, I think women like him. Paul Rudd.
I'm not the biggest judge of male beauty, but he wouldn't be the first person that I would pick, you know, personally. Right.
I see you jumped right on that, Fred. You think otherwise.
Well, no, I know I have big Paul Rudd fans in my house.
Of his comedy or of his looks, Fred?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good for Paul Rudd.
Vic, you obviously disagree.
I would go with Kenan Thompson. Because his vivacious comedy and vibe is very sexy to me. If I was, you know, voting,
yeah.
I would a Kenan Thompson vote would come from my end, but that's just me.
Yeah,
I mean, Paul Rudd, he's ageless. What do they call him, the midnight vampire? I mean, he's unbelievable. His jeans are sensational.
What kind of jeans does he wear?
I think Levi's.
Yeah,
Levi Strauss.
Sure.
You guys together, instead of Fritz and Fred, it's Vic and Fred,
right?
Yeah, we'd have been
rolling right into that routine.
Big in vaudeville.
L'chaim to life.
Thank you.
Are you guys been watching the Kings and the Ducks play hockey lately?
I have.
They have combined for 11 consecutive wins, both clubs.
Well, the Ducks have some issues down there. You know, they just suspended their general manager. I think it's Bob Murray.
It is Bob Murray. Yep.
Yeah, they just suspended him. Because of workplace culture, I guess.
There's a lot of that going around, Fred. Neil O'Shea, the former Clippers GM, now in Portland, there's a probe against him for the exact same thing.
Yeah, and they hired an outside firm to investigate, and preliminary investigations came in, and apparently they weren't good. So they have suspended him now until they figure out what's going on down there. But on the ice, both the Kings and Ducks have been on fire. I mean, the Kings won last night. Beat Montreal. They also beat Montreal here. Ducks beat Vancouver last night. I think the Ducks are a point out of first place.
They are.
And the Kings have won six in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mad love to the clubs. Wanted to give them some definite buzz because there's a buzz on the ice. So hold on to your Zambonis. And the UCLA Basketball Bruins, number two in America. Are you guys anticipating a sensational run Friday night with number four, Villanova?
Yes.
Ola Nova. It's going to be a sensational run.
No, I agree. Mix got them playing and got the whole starting five came back. Cody Riley was hitting the knee last night. People were concerned about him, but I think he's okay.
That's good news. Yeah, heal quickly, Riley, because they need Riley. He's a very vital member of that squad.
Yep.
So Mick Cronin versus Jay Wright of Villanova. And the squads are running, they're balling. I love these early season college basketball titanic matchups. It's, you know, like Duke, Kentucky last night, you know, with a good run, Krzyzewski's last year. They beat Kentucky. Kansas, Michigan State. I love when you get the high quality college squads running, man. It's nice.
Yeah.
Not everyone is playing, you know, College of the Ozarks.
Well, everybody has one or two of those.
Yes.
But these tip-in tournaments are just fabulous.
Chapman Panthers open their season Friday night against the always difficult.
Okay.
Puget Sound, whatever they are.
Watch out for Puget Sound. They're dangerous.
Yeah, they're 2-0 coming in.
Which all leads us back to the core. The haiku is by Kikaku today. Okay. Kikaku. K-I-K-A-K-U. Three beautiful vowels. Kikaku.
Kikaku.
Say it, Fred. You'll feel better.
Say it. Yeah, you do feel better when you say it.
Kikaku.
Don't say it again. Feel good?
Kikaku.
Yeah, Freddie.
I
what
feel
you feeling now?
Refreshed.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Right?
Kikaku.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Not the kaki, which, you know, I'm in love with the kaki, the persimmon fruit, but
love
Kikaku.
The kaki too.
No, I don't like the kaki.
So quickly, Kikaku eats a kaku.
You
say
eat
it
the
six
kaki,
times.
Fred. You know you eat the kaki.
I do
you
not
love the kaki.
No, I don't want the kaki, Vic. You can savor the kaki all on your own.
I'm cornering the market on kaki?
Yeah. When it comes to kaki, you're the man.
I am the man.
Yeah.
You know what they call me in the streets of Kyoto?
Oh, get it. Give
Mr.
it to
Mr. Kaki.
Well,
it has nothing to do with
Kyoto.
Ego or mindlessness.
Kyoto. Fred, Kyoto.
Mr. Cocky to you.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure that's a moniker I would be pleased to have. Mr. Cocky.
I'm humbled and honored to be Mr. Cocky.
Okay.
So, wait. Vic, in one place, is Mr. Cocky.
Yeah.
In another place, he's Mr. Eggplant.
Right.
In another place, he's Mr. Teabag.
Correct.
Okay.
You got to go with the flow, K-Fig.
It's a hell of a resume there, Vic. Good.
He's the many-faced god, Vic.
Yeah.
You got to have a toolkit. And you must have many tools in that kit. And you must master every tool in your kit.
Well, I think you have a tool in your kit, Mr. Cocky.
Thank you so much. This haiku for you on this Wednesday, November the 10th.
Oh, yeah.
By Kikaku. K-I-K-A-K-U.
Yeah, we got it, Vic. We you already spelled it.
Say it, Fred. Say it.
Kikaku.
Oh,
there you
yeah.
go. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a groove. Don't you feel that's a groove, man.
Oh.
That's a groove.
I'm grooving, Vic.
That's like rubbing your back with some silk or some mink gloves, Fred.
Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Or satin sheets.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Out of season cherries, let's lay out some straw mats and sit down to eat them. I'm feeling you, Kikaku.
I can identify with today's haiku by Kikaku. I would enjoy having some out of season cherries.
Yeah.
I'm a big cherry guy.
Lay down straw mat?
Yeah, I don't have to sit on a mat. I mean,
no,
I sit on the couch. I'm not going to sit on a mat.
A straw mat.
No, I don't need that. But I'll eat the cherries. That spoke to me today, Vic.
Well, we must thank Kikaku.
Okay.
K-I-K-A-K-U.
We know. Thank you, Kikaku.
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Watch my buddy Jacob and Ronnie. If you get yourself into trouble, if you're involved in any type of accident, you need the best representation. He is our attorney. He's been doing it for 25 years. He is the best in Los Angeles. Jacob Imrani, give him a call.
Accident Another injury. Call Jacob and Ronnie. Call Jacob.
So Odell Beckham Jr. did clear waivers yesterday, so he is free to sign with whomever he likes. And there's a few reports out there that says he has his sights set on the Green Bay Packers and playing with Aaron Rodgers. There's also rumors that the Patriots could be interested in him, of the Seattle Seahawks. He was linked to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for a while, but Bruce Arians said earlier today, I have enough initials to worry about with AB. I can't deal with three more like OBJ. So it doesn't look like he's going to Tampa Bay, but possibly the Patriots, Seahawks, or the Packers, Fred.
Well, that tells you something. He's a good receiver.
Oh, what does that tell you?
It tells you it's a good receiver. It tells you teams with a shot at it want him. That's what it tells you. It tells you that they believe this guy can make a difference, even if he couldn't make that difference in Cleveland. You know, if they sign him in Green Bay, that's another weapon. And Aaron Rodgers, he can't play this weekend, can he?
I mean, he can.
But, I mean, he's not even going to practice. Well, he'll still be better.
LaFleur said if he's healthy and ready, he's playing. We had that the other day.
Yeah. He's coming in right at the right time for somebody in the stretch run. All three of those teams are in it. So, yeah, I guess he might be done in Cleveland, but he's certainly not done.
Yeah, no, he is a good receiver. It just was a bad fit in Cleveland. But I love the straight honesty and candidness of Bruce Arians. He tells it like it is all the time. But, yeah, Green Bay, interesting. Interesting fit there. And maybe that takes away from all the noise and controversy involving Aaron Rodgers. That's a good idea. But he's still got some life in those legs, absolutely, in those hands.
Whatever Odell wants, Odell should get. Such a talented wideout. I know he has sights on the Saints as well, but why go to the Saints? No one's going to talk. No one's going to throw him the ball deep. He needs to go deep. He needs a quality QB. What does Odell Beckham Jr. want right now from his career? Does he want victories? I believe so. He's been paid. The Giants paid him for many, many years. Obviously didn't work out in Cleveland. But Green Bay's a fit. Anywhere's a fit for Odell Beckham, but he wants to win. So Nolan's, I know, is on his radar, but I don't see it. Imagine him with Davante Adams. I don't think Aaron Rodgers deserves such gifts after screwing the league. But it's the NFL. Oh, come on now!
Okay.
Go to Major League Baseball. We know our friend Jock Peterson won his second world championship with the Braves couple of weeks ago, and he did a recent interview with the Drew Barrymore Show, and it was talking about his pearls, more clarity on the pearls and why he chose the pearls. He said, quote, I always thought they kind of looked good. I saw Justin Bieber and Machine Gun Kelly wear them at the ESPYs or something, and I don't know, they're on top of their style, so I reached out to my jeweler and wanted to change things up a little bit. I think the white looks good with the jerseys, honestly, better than the gold chain or the black.
You know what's interesting? When we were in Atlanta, you cannot imagine how many people were walking around in pearls.
Were they really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
They were sold out of all the stores. Yeah. Everybody had pearls, and everybody wanted to get them. It just shows what kind of influence you can have. You know, if whoever you are does something and it catches on. I mean, little kids, adults, they were all walking around with those pearls.
No, it doesn't surprise me, you know, and, you know, especially it works. And if you perform like Jock has, especially in the postseason, and he does it for your team, of course it's going to catch on. And he's got that kind of personality of, you know, I'm just going to be me and do whatever I want. And I'm also going, as you mentioned, Fred, in your board right there, just going to hit some dingers.
Yep.
It'd be all good.
People are going to love you. Yeah, I just came here to hit dingers and have a good time.
And they love him in Atlanta. And good for him. Good for him, you know, getting a little niche. I like that. Baseball, you know, obviously known for being a little too stuffy, letting their hair down a little bit, and Jock is certainly a perfect guy to do that.
I love that Jock has revived the pearl, number one. An underrated, sensational, natural gem.
Jeez. Wait, Fred, you didn't like it? Why the reaction, Fred?
I don't know, Vic. And is he also wearing rouge with the revival of the pearl, putting on a little rouge?
It reminds me when I was traveling Japan, and I hung out with the AMA, A-M-A. They are the women pearl divers.
Oh, okay.
AMA. Oh.
Women. Where were you hanging out with them, Vic? Where?
Off of a coastal town in Japan many years ago. And they are, it's all women who dive for pearls without tanks. It's, you know, maybe a snorkel, maybe.
Oh.
And they dive for like 30, 40 seconds. And it's generational. If, you know, maybe they've been doing it for like 100, 200 years. All women. They dive for the pearls and bring them up. And they're honored, you know, as an incredible, as artists of the sea, almost mermaids of the sea. They have incredible talents. AMA. AMA. So thank you, Jock, for bringing back the pearl. I believe it's, again, one of the underrated wonders of the sea.
Vic, you did mention mermaids of the sea.
Correct.
Where else would mermaids be?
In the Tom Hanks movie?
Oh, okay. Fine. Then.
That explains it. Last one for you here, Fred. I know you don't golf very much, so it might not affect you. If you ever
only for money,
exactly.
Only for money
that I lose.
That he's going to end up losing. Well, you might not want to take it up, especially down in Palm Beach at the Palm Beach Country Club in Florida. There is a large crocodile that has taken up residence on the golf course in one of the ponds, and a lot of golfers are scared. You know, they have to basically play around it, and the people are asking, "Why don't you just remove the crocodile, tranquilize it, get it out of there?" Apparently, federal law prohibits the removal of crocodiles unless they've been determined to pose a threat. And since the large crocodile has not attacked anybody, it is not determined as a threat. So if you want to play the course, you'd have to play through or play around this giant croc.
So the only way the crocodile poses a threat is if it attacks somebody.
I'm assuming so, because it's been the last week or so, according to this story.
Yeah, I would think it poses a threat by its very nature.
By its very presence. I would agree with you.
Yeah. So I would just avoid that hole.
Don't mess with the croc won't mess with you.
Well, I understand, but...
Unless it's hungry.
Yeah, there is that.
Then I would avoid that hole.
Rodney, you playing at the Palm Beach Country Club?
No. But people still will play, just to be around the croc, and then all of a sudden the croc goes croc, and they're dead.
Right.
I used to play, you know... In this NFL tournament for Cadillac, and they used to do it at the TPC course in Jacksonville. And Jacksonville, obviously a Florida place where a lot of crocodiles would come up and be around, and in water holes, there would be crocs in the water holes. That was just, they had signs up. Oh, be careful, be aware, crocodiles in the water. Don't chase your ball in the water. Don't got to retrieve your ball in the water. And of course, you know, a lot of partying at night before, you know, we play the next round. And some of the football players would play and have a few cocktails and challenge each other to swim across the little pond.
Oh, this is great.
Water holes. Yeah. Water holes.
Anybody do it?
And many did it, believe it or not. I don't know. No one while I was there got bit or... anything bad happened to them, but there were several sightings of crocs as they were swimming from one side to another on this golf course. Crazy.
That is
crazy.
Insane.
Yes. Insane. Insane, Fred.
I mean, because when it gets you, bad. It got you. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll take you to the bottom and roll you over and drown you, and you can't get out.
Right.
Yeah, but these guys would do it. Most of them defensive players, linebackers. Yeah.
Did they think they could fight the crocodile or just avoid it?
Just avoid it. That's what it was a race to avoid it. So from like hole 7 to hole 9, they would swim across and try to.
God.
And this was at night, by the way. That they would try to, you know, bet somebody, you know, $1,000, you're not going to do that. And certainly it was always takers, Fred. Not good.
Is it me? Is it just me?
Yeah.
But is this Year of the Crocodile? I have never seen so much buzz about this ancient creature than this year. The crocodiles are everywhere.
I've not heard a word about it until today.
Neither
They're
have
running
I,
amok,
yes.
Fred.
The Year of the Crocodile.
This year of the crocodile.
Where are the crocodiles, Vic?
Well, they're in Florida, man. They're all in... But it's like... I've never heard so much, you know, information and crocodile attacks than 2021. Is it just me?
Yes, because I've not heard anything about the crocodile until 1 minute ago.
Are you kidding, Fred?
Yeah.
The crocodile's been all over the news for the last all year.
Really?
Crocodile attacks. Going into, you know, people getting attacked by crocodiles. Absolutely, Fred.
It's been on the news?
No doubt.
Maybe I should pay attention when I'm sitting there then.
It's Year of the Crocodile. Come on now.
Okay.
And that's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
All right, Rams getting ready to take on the 49ers Monday night in the Bay Area. And we'll get into that next.
Now, your chance to put $1,000 in your pocket. Text the nationwide keyword BILLS to 200-200. You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's BILLS to 200-200. Good luck. Thanks for joining us on your ride.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Speaking of which, traffic.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh yeah, Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan on a hump day. All good, Freddie, all good.
All good, Rodney. Let's bring on the proprietor of Nightcast Media, man who's around town, man who talks to everybody. He's got some Rams for us today. It's our friend Nick Hamilton. And Nick, how are you today?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing well, Nick. Okay, so Rams play the 49ers on Monday in San Francisco, Santa Clara. And you spent some time with the Rams?
Yeah, we had a chance to get on the Rams call because obviously, you know, the game being Monday night, they kind of stretch things out. So we had a chance to talk to running back Sony Michel on just about the differences on team cultures as far as how his teams in the past, him being with the Pats and now him being with the Rams, and what the mentality is bouncing back from a tough loss that they suffered on Sunday night and getting prepared for a big-time showdown with their NFC West rival opponent in the 49ers. And here's what he had to say.
Two completely different cultures, completely different teams. But I think just universal, everybody kind of tried to have the same mindset of, you know, flipping the page. Nobody ever want to dwell on a loss or kind of pout on a loss. It's all about, you know, you got so many more games, so why not keep pushing forward? We got a great locker room in the Rams that guys do a great job of moving forward, whether it's a win or a loss. Guys know, you know, by the time Monday comes, it's a new opponent, new beat, so we got to kind of stay focused.
Now, Rodney, my thing to you is, because you played so many years in the NFL, do you all get up more so for your rival opponents than you do any other game, like, truthfully?
No, and it's not like you do in college, right? Because your rival, usually you're playing them twice a year in the NFL because they're in your division, which is why they're your rival. But there are certain teams you dislike than others, and there's always, and even when we have ED on, you know, he always talks about how much he didn't like the San Francisco 49ers. So it goes way back, and you kind of are built in that with the culture. I do remember with the Eagles, certainly Dallas was a game that you marked on your calendar because you definitely wanted to beat the Cowboys and hate the Cowboys. But you also, you know that it's a bigger picture. You know, my thing is, when it feels like, you tell me this, Nick, it feels like with the Rams, that people jump on and off their bandwagon with every win and every loss, more so than I've seen with any other team, or at least seen in a long while. I mean, that loss to Arizona, oh, the Rams are horrible. They can't beat anybody, or they're not as good as people thought they were. Then this recent loss to Tennessee, same thing. It's like people are quick to jump off the bandwagon when it's just really, you know, a bump in the road during the season.
Yeah, some are, Rodney. I agree. Some are. I mean, they're up and down like a stock exchange, man. You 1 week they're up, 1 week they're down. You don't know who's coming in. But the faithful Ram fans understand the mission at hand. They understand it's a marathon, and the marathon continues, and they understand that, you know, you're going to have bumps and bruises along the way. And that's something that Andrew Whitworth talked about, how he compared the 2018 team that he was on that went to the Super Bowl versus the 2021 team that he's currently on this season. And here's what he had to say about that.
I mean, there's some situations like that. Like I said, I mean, to your point, or in the first half where they've hit Matthew a couple times, I mean, it was some stuff where they're kind of coming from all over the place, and it's a little bit of, you know, how we've played offensively and how we've done things. But get the ball down the field also means that you're holding it a little longer, and I think that they had some good plans for how they were going to twist and stunt and move around and do things, and so I think it's one of those that gives you a great learning op. I think you look at 2018, we made it to the Super Bowl. You look at that season, no matter how many runs we went on, there was always this opportunity in the season where some team had a response to what you did well. Like, hey, this is this team's plan now for, you're going to do these things really well. Okay, now we've seen it. How can we handle that better the next time? How can we respond? And I think this is another opportunity here where, okay, they had a good plan and they came up with some stuff that they thought worked well, and we'll go back and look at it and see if it was physical errors or if it was things where, you know what, maybe there's a better way we can do this. And I think that's what NFL football is about, is how you grow and continue to get better through the bumps through the season, and they're always going to be there. And so I think this is our opportunity to see what those bumps look like and what we can do to fix them.
Go ahead, Nick.
No, I was going to say, I mean, this is a huge game. They can say what they want, and I know everybody circles, you know, you have an opponent each week, but this is a game that's a must-win game, not just physically on the field, but mentally, because we know the last couple of seasons, the 49ers have kind of owned the Rams on the field, so this has got to be a must-win for them, not just because what happened on Sunday night, but from a mental standpoint, to get the monkey off their back so they can continue to move forward and have an opportunity to win this division.
Well, they're getting them at a good time. I mean, the 49ers are a mess. So this should be an opportunity for the Rams to kind of right that ship, because San Francisco just seems completely lost.
Yeah, and I think that people want to jump on, you know, Garoppolo and the quarterback situation, and it is obvious that Trey Lance is not ready to play, or he would have been playing more. But I looked at the way Arizona manhandled that defense. And which was, you know, a couple of years ago, it was their claim to fame, is that their defense was dominant. And I don't know where that defense went, Nick.
Hey, the defense has been on a milk carton, because they got punked by the Arizona Cardinals. Nice, Rodney. They got straight punked. I mean, they got their lunch money taken from them, and they ran. That's basically what the Rams are going to have to do. They're going to have to follow, like you said earlier, follow that same blueprint and be able to kind of match that with their intensity, especially on defense. And especially, hopefully, we'll see if Von Miller is available on Monday night. Because if Von Miller is available, I do not like the odds for the 49ers at all.
Yeah, and also, you know, if the Rams offensive line does a better job. I mean, Matthew Stafford had literally no time to throw and was just pummeled. I sacked five times. That is very uncharacteristic of the Rams offensive line.
Yeah, you know what, Fred? It's interesting that you mentioned that, because we saw something similar to that against the Arizona Cardinals game when they came to SoFi. So that's something they're definitely going to have to address, and that's something that Whitworth was also talking about, is them having to address that and not making those mental mistakes as well as those physical mistakes that allow those things to happen. So I don't think Matthew Stafford, you're going to see another performance, a poor performance like that from Matthew Stafford this coming week, especially with a lot on the line going against their rival at Levi Stadium.
All right, Nick, great job. Appreciate you coming on. The proprietor of nightcastmedia.com. Follow him on Twitter at NickHamilton213. Nick, have a great weekend, and thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right, we're back to wrap things up right after this.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Fred Rogan.
Boo!
AM 570 LA Sports.
Well, you know the holidays are approaching. Plan ahead and get your Dodger custom jerseys and other merchandise at the Dodgers Clubhouse store located at Universal City Walk, Hollywood Highland, 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica, Montebello Town Center, and Northridge. The Dodger Clubhouse store is the official team store of AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney, Kevin, thank you. Appreciate it as always. All right, Rodney, back tomorrow.
Back tomorrow, Freddie. Brother got smoked by a fiend, trying to floss on a blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the scene. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, live and die in LA.